to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 334 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal, Sean Orford. Are you sitting comfortably, Sean?
I am sitting comfortably. Don't let us speak.
What are you getting out of your man bag there?
The man bag. I'm just checking my stuff, you know what I mean?
Just checking it's all there. There's a link there between what we're talking about. Organisation. A bit on busyness and what we're doing and what the heck we are doing on planet Earth, whether we are fulfilling our purpose or not. We might come on to that.
It's an esoteric organisation.
Further on down the line, yeah. We don't hold back on this show. Liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links. Sign up to the mailing list and you'll get some free meditation files and weekly alerts for the show as well. How you been? I know how you've been because I saw you on Sunday.
Yeah, we've had a groovy time. It's been good.
Yeah, so I think it was my birthday or last year. I was given some vouchers for.
Isn't it Christmas? Or was it
Christmas?
Birthday?
Yeah, one of the two. Yeah.
We've had them a long time. I know.
For Italian cookery class.
Yeah.
And finally, well, you took the initiative and booked us all onto a course. And what was it? Was it Atavola?
Atavola, which is the El Forno.
Yeah.
Is the restaurant. They've got loads of places around.
The Pizza Masterclass.
Yeah. And they had won an award for the best pizza in the UK.
Best in England or in the UK, yeah. Exactly. So the Il Forno is a really good Italian restaurant in Liverpool, which I need to go to again, actually. Proper, a classy kind of joint. They also have a brand called Crust.
Crust, yeah.
So there's one on Bold Street in Liverpool. They've opened one in Frodsham. There's another one somewhere else.
Didn't he say to you that they'd actually made over 1,000 pizzas in a day?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Amazing.
I know, all that dough, imagine. Like how much?
When you said dough, did you mean money? Pizza dough.
All that dough, think of it. Because we made the dough, didn't we? And obviously then you have to let dough do its thing for at least 48 hours. Well, at least 24, ideally 48, 72 hours.
That's like if I'm making sourdough, then I need to leave it in the fridge to mature.
Yeah.
And
science in it, man. Chemistry.
Yeah. And there's two ways of making dough products. Either they're ambient and you leave them in room temperature and let them grow, or they're retarded and you put them in the fridge.
Mm.
If they're retarded, you get better flavour and a much deeper.
Well, we've still got our dough in the fridge, which we're going to have tonight, so that will have had.
Well, I came back with two lots of dough because Robert brought his back, but then he's gone off to Barcelona for the week.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to use his as well.
You must, because it wouldn't quite keep a week, I take it, or would it? Keep it going and knocking it back?
No, you'd have to keep working it, yeah. But in the end, the yeast would die back, you know, unless you feed it.
But it was a cool course. We'll put some links in the show notes, if I remember.
Yeah.
Because it's a really good gift. Many thanks. And yeah, man.
And they were lovely people, weren't they?
Yeah.
Maria,
fantastic.
Yeah, great.
What was it that I translated and she heard me? What was it, Italian?
It was The Art of Doing Nothing.
The Art of Doing Nothing. I can't remember what the translation is now.
But she understood you when you said
she did. I think she appreciated my pronunciation. Pretty good.
I think she appreciated the effort.
Okay, right, cool. Let's crack on. So I was thinking about what we could talk about. You were desperate to talk politics because we've got a general election coming up, but we're not talking about that yet. We'll leave that a few weeks at least.
Yeah, I spend my life at the moment with my head stuck in this because I see it as really fundamental for us and the next generation. But I won't get into that.
We'll schedule some time in and we'll give everyone plenty of notice so they can run for cover.
They can, turn it off. That's it.
But it is kind of linked because I feel like while it is very important, the news and what's going on and our positioning and all that, it feels like a bit of a I'm using it as a bit of a distraction. I'm spending a lot of time seeing what the latest breaking news is, and my watch is flashing BBC news alerts all the time. whereas I need to get a bit more organised, and so that led me to think about, let's do an episode about organisation and focus.
So, are you feeling disorganised?
I am at the moment, yeah, but I'm quite enjoying it at the moment because I've got this. I'm still doing my design stuff. It's just, paying my way. But I've also got this other fascination and this other business I'm growing or trying to get off the ground. which I'm obsessed with, you know. So my life is crazy at the moment, and I'm going to seminars and conferences just because I enjoy it, and I'm trying to plan for the future.
So are you networking at these?
Networking hard with these things, yeah. But my calendar, if you look at my diary, it looks a bit like yours. It's just looks
crammed.
Like someone's got at it with a machine gun. So yeah, I've got 3 appointments today. One is yourself, and I'm nipping off to help an environmental company with a website. That's all part of the getting to know people.
Yeah.
Then back here for another meeting over Zoom or whatever it's called. So yeah, I am a bit disorganised at the moment. And then I've got loads of family stuff as well, obviously. It's half term this week, so I'm having a couple of days off tomorrow doing something, not sure what. But I'm quite enjoying the craziness, but I could do with a bit more structure at the moment. So what about you? Where are you at in your life, Sean?
My problem... I got 2 things going on. One is trying to fit a quart into a pint pot kind of stuff. And that's been tough for the last few years, really. But also because I've stopped doing all the NHS stuff. But there's still lots of things to finish off and things to do. But I'm trying to get new things going as well.
Have you had like a lot of time instantly freed up?
No.
Or is it?
No. The idea was I'd have Mondays and Fridays off, and I can see that happening. But there's been so many things to fill in. Like the first week that I had off, after I'd finished the NHS stuff, and I was only going to do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I was trying to work out what I'd booked in for that, and I booked in 45 hours for 3 days. And I wasn't getting everything done then. So there is a transition that needs to take place. And it is hard to get organised in the sense that there are lots of basic things that I need to be doing when you're full of so much stuff to be done. You know, I'd love to have the luxury of having a week of doing absolutely nothing and just kind of sorting stuff out and clearing up and getting this done and that done.
Well, you were away a couple of weekends ago, weren't you, for three days, 4 days?
Yeah.
So do you schedule in that quite regularly, and you're quite disciplined about taking time?
Yeah, we do take time out, and that's more of a kind of an emotional resetting, really, with the kind of work that both of us do. I mean, Ree's work is much more kind of terminal in many cases, so the pressures are quite heavy. But being able to reset your emotional clock, I guess. But my organisational stuff at the moment is very practical. I need to go into rooms and sort rooms out, you know. I need that kind of stuff. I need to get the filing done and sort the bookshelves out.
Yeah.
Because I can't find anything or do anything. We just had the kitchen redone.
Very nice it is too.
But that is so frustrating because I can't find anything in the drawers because the drawers, I haven't got to the point where they're organised yet. I will, but you know.
Well, yeah, I guess the kitchen and kind of is a good analogy, or the state of one's kitchen gives a good reflection of the type of person. And
they say that with your desk as well.
Well, it depends whose kitchen it is. I mean, even within a family, you know, I'm quite hands-on in the kitchen. I do a lot of cooking, and I know where everything is. But when I go to like my parents' house and I might lend a hand, I used to live there, obviously, for like 20 years, grew up there. But I don't know where anything is anymore. So I'm looking for like a glass to make a drink. I'm looking through all the cupboards. So I guess that's a good analogy, isn't it, for your life? There's not much I can do about that because it ain't my house.
But one of the things that's interesting in that is that even if you live in a family, because you've all got different mindsets, you aren't necessarily going to put things back in the same place that you got them from.
Yeah.
And one of my frustrations in sharing my kitchen with other people that inevitably you do in the family is I open the drawer to get something and it's not there, then I've got to go on the hunt to find it because it has been put back in the wrong place.
And you've got to get on WhatsApp. Robert, where did you put that?
Yeah. But it's always been like that. And that's just the nature of being with people because people's minds are different.
I guess, yeah, I mean, you can only be as organised... you can only be organised to a point because, you know, we are social creatures, humans, so
yeah.
We must interact with other people's ways of doing things at some point as well, which I'm quite... in my work sense, I'm a freelancer, so I'm on my own, so I can be in control of pretty much everything, which I really like. And maybe that's one of the reasons why I never took the opportunity to start hiring people or trying to grow a business in that sense because I like... knowing where everything is and who's in charge of what, because it's all on me.
Yeah,
there are drawbacks to that as well, but you're similar in that sense, I guess, although you have run quite big businesses.
I have had big teams of people covering the whole country, but the
Wish you had that again, or
no?
It was
so difficult, because when you're a sole trader, you do something and you do it to your standard in your way, and people that buy your service buy you. If you get somebody else in to help you do that, you need a clone of yourself, which you can't get. So that person's never going to be a replica of you. So I spend a lot of my time going in and backfilling and sorting stuff out and all that kind of stuff. And it became twice the job as if I was doing it myself, you know.
Yeah. I do have a couple of guys that I call on when I'm overly stretched, or you know, something a bit too technical from my mind. And I don't use them as much as I should, probably. But, I mean, I've been self-employed 11 years. 11 years and a half, so it's taken me that long to find two people that I can really trust and rely on to do stuff, you know. So I can't imagine actually employing someone full time, or a team of people, because I can't imagine that there are that many people out there that I could really trust and rely on to.
I mean, I've got a few people that I would refer on to, that I would, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't think I would want to go back to running teams of people again. Because, like I say, we covered everything from the prisons on the Isle of Wight to Virgin Trains in Glasgow, and it was like everything in between. And I was doing over 150 miles driving each year, just going around doing everything and keeping everything together.
Each year, 150 miles?
150,000.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say.
150 miles a minute,
Okay, it was a blog post I'll link to, lifehack.org, which has got some pretty good little tips, and we can go through some of them now in terms of, well, what is it? How to organise your life? 10 habits of really organised people, I believe is the title. So making notes and kind of having something written down in terms of what you're doing.
But one of the problems with things like making notes and lists is I know people that make lists of lists. And making the list and making the notes can be a diversion from actually doing what you should be doing.
I used to have, when I first started working on my own, I used to have a notebook, and every day I would have a list of jobs to do. And some would follow on from the next day, but I would rewrite it. And I remember I used to, because I'd like ticking that process of ticking it off or crossing through it. And sometimes I would do a job, but it wouldn't be on the list. So I would write it on the list and then immediately cross through it. Is that a bit weird? Is that a bit weird?
Because it made you feel good.
Because the satisfaction.
If it worked, it worked.
Because if it's not on the list, I haven't done it. And it's almost like, you know, I'd be working at home and Bethany would come in and she'd want to know what I'd done that day, and I would show her the list. And, you know, there's nothing on it. She'd be like, I hadn't done anything. Weird. But I don't do that anymore. I have a list on my laptop, a little text file. Of just kind of ongoing stuff that I use, and then I also have my inbox, my email inbox, which, you know, if there's a message in there, it means it's something that I need to action, and once I've done, I'll archive it in the right folder. So I'm really organised digitally in terms of where I keep files and folders. I don't know how you're on an iPad now, aren't you? So
yeah, and there is a file section that they've just updated with the new operating system where you can do that. But I need to go through and do the housework and put it all into files. It's those kind of things I need the time to sit down and do.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about changing my work system to an iPad if I could. It's getting there, I think, but you know, I'm so set in my ways in my organisation that I worry that I would spend so much time getting used to the new system, things might slip through the net, or I'm probably better off just sticking with this and getting a new laptop at some point. But, do you have a notebook as well that you keep?
Yeah.
If someone calls you or texts you, you need to remember to call that person back.
I have notes of things that I need to do, I actually have today's to-do list, which is what I have to do today.
Okay, so you have a page for every day, pretty much, or a bit of paper floating around.
And it is the problem where the list gets longer if you're not careful.
Yeah.
But there, if you live a busy life, there's a lot of things to do.
Indeed. And we should say as well, we've probably done episodes in the past on busyness and whether we need to be busy and how to dial it back a little bit. So it's not, the goal in life shouldn't necessarily be to be busy and to be, you know, running around like a headless chicken. Mm. And in many ways, we do need to step back a lot.
But then a lot of what we're doing, when I came in to see you today, you were working out the amount of miles you do per gallon riding a bike, which was a bit of a tortuous twist for my brain.
See, what are you talking about?
But you were doing over 1,000 miles to the gallon or something.
Well, this is partly an issue of distraction, because I was waiting for an MP3 file to export for another podcast I did. And in the meantime, I hopped on Twitter to see what was going on, and I saw a message about how you can calculate your miles per gallon equivalent for cycling versus driving. You know, your car might get 30, 40, 50 miles per gallon if you're lucky. And this is an equation you can do, and I worked out, based on my weight, that I get 1,094 miles per gallon. Efficiency. So top that, man.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But the thing is that if you stayed at home and you didn't go out on your bike, you'd be even more efficient.
I would, yeah. I could have not come to the office this morning. I could have worked from home, but I would have been using energy there, electricity. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah, that's another thing. But I guess eliminating distraction from one's life, which we have talked about a lot in the past, can help, is a big part of being organised. We've been sat in this room making notes about this episode, and your watch is buzzing away with WhatsApp messages and all sorts.
Yeah, Robert's in Barcelona and is sending me messages,
Do you manage your notifications on your devices? What comes through?
I'm still kind of getting used to the whole Apple Watch thing, really. And it's a bit weird because it never leaves you alone. You know, with a phone, it's in a bag. When you go for the watch option, it's there all the time.
Yeah.
And I've got to the point now where the phone rings on my watch.
You don't keep your phone in your pocket?
No.
Oh, well.
You shouldn't keep your phone in your pocket.
That's weird.
It's bad for your testicles.
Okay, I've heard about that.
You irradiate your bits.
5G's coming. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 5G testicles, not good. when the phone rings, and I'm walking down the road talking to my wrist.
Yeah.
No, and which looked a bit weird.
Yeah, I used to do that for a little bit when I go. I've switched off all notifications on my watch, so except for a few. I do get BBC News alerts, and I get those health ones, you know, when you've done your health goal for the day or whatever,
right.
Which I'm not that asked about, to be honest.
So are you telling me you just use your watch to tell the time?
Well, I've got time, date, calendar, so it's got what's coming up today. I've got the Bitcoin price, which I should probably not have, but I've got temperature, which I find quite handy for when I'm about to get out on my bike in the morning.
All right.
And the health stuff. So, yeah, I've got everything at a glance there that I need. Well, need. I think text messages, like old-fashioned ones, do come through. But if I had WhatsApp alerts on my phone, on my watch...
See, I can look on my watch and it tells you immediately that in Doha it's 34 degrees.
Okay, that's pretty... That's
in
quite
Birmingham pleasant. It's only 9.
Yeah.
And in Colville, wherever that is, it's 11 degrees.
But I have even switched off a lot of notifications on my phone, so I don't. When I log in to my phone, I don't get any red badges for anything anymore. So even WhatsApp, I have to click into the app to see if anyone has sent a message there, which sometimes I'll miss something important from someone, a client that's texted me on it. But usually it's just a bunch of rubbish that we made.
One of the things that I have is I have the two phones. I've got a Doha phone and a Here phone.
Okay.
And I had a thing yesterday where people were saying, I sent you a message. And I'm looking and thinking, no, you didn't. And then I went on my Doha phone, and it was on my Doha phone.
So just thinking this back to some of the points that we got. I mean, procrastination is mentioned. It also talks about decluttering your life for your physical space, or your office or your... the room where you see people. But I guess you can also take that to a digital sense. So I like to have a very decluttered digital life. So my desktop on my laptop hasn't got stuff all over it. It's very organised. It's like a few files. My email inbox is very organised. All my stuff on my phone, I like to think it's very neat and tidy. Mm-hmm. And I find that very important for my kind of decluttering my digital life.
Yeah.
because I haven't got yet an old-fashioned style. I have got an office, but I haven't got loads of files everywhere and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But your, what do you call it? Your little room. What's the official name for that?
Office, study.
Your office, whatever, study. Yeah. It's quite pretty organised, would you say?
It's got too much stuff in it. It needs decluttering. There's stuff that needs to go up into the studio in the attic. Mm-hmm. But then the studio in the attic needs decluttering. There's stuff that, that probably needs to be recycled into the world of other people using it.
What's that, point 7 or 6? Get rid of stuff.
Yeah.
And we've got Stuffmas coming up, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah. And I go back to my, if I can't eat it or drink it, I don't really want it. Mm-hmm. Because I have got that much stuff, really.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, it's nice to get a new pair of shoes, it's nice to get a new bag, it's nice to get a new shirt, but do I need any of those things?
Mm.
You know, in reality.
Well, and, yeah, that links into the next one about avoiding bargains, because, you know, even when you go into a shop, which I don't do that much anymore, I'm pretty good at not just going in and buying stuff, you'll, you know, the stuff at the till, near a till, is designed to be there for you to just grab and buy.
Mm. Yeah.
So I'm pretty good at doing that because I tend not to ever go in shops. But
I was coming through Doha Airport on the way back, and I always say to Robert and Reed, you want me to bring you back anything from the airport because it's duty free? And Robert says, can you bring me back a bar of chocolate? Right. So
Dairy Milk was, Galaxy, or is it?
Well, no, they have Lindt bars, but they're like, I mean, they're enormous.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then it says, buy three, get one free. And I'm thinking, is that, you know, you buy one and get two? No, no, no. So in the end, I buy three bars of chocolate and get one free. So I've now got four enormous bars of chocolate.
Wow.
Because I've got this bargain. Yeah, and I actually needed one bar, but I come back with four.
I'll take one. But, yeah, we do our shopping online, Asda, on the app. And, yeah, this week the offer was, because Bethan likes those Müller yogurt things where you kind of tip the corner into the yogurt and mix it up. So it was 8 for £4, I think. But we only need really 4 or 5 to get through the week. But so obviously, but it worked out that much cheaper to get 8 of them. And it was the same for the tins of soup that she has for her lunch. It was like cheaper to buy 10 than it was to get 6. So I just whacked in 10 into the shopping trolley. So and we collect it now rather than delivery. And I'm actually getting for Christmas a thingo for the back of my bike.
A trailer.
So
you're going to do the shopping?
I'll be able to go to Asda in Bromborough and pick it up with a bike and a trailer and get it home. But anyway.
But that'd be really good if you had an electric bike like mine, because then you go up the hills
just
really easy.
Give me yours, you never use it.
I'm spending my life on it all the time.
But yeah, just piling stuff into our trailers, whether they be the back of your car or the trailer for your bike, we're just piling stuff in, aren't we? Mm-hmm. I mean, it is food that will get eaten, and we will for the foreseeable future need to eat to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, the amount of stuff, especially this time of year, that we're all going to be, and you know, my family is guilty of this too, of just buying stuff,
mm-hmm.
just to kind of keep up with the keep up with the Joneses and dish out all these presents.
It's Stuffmas.
Happy Stuffmans. Avoid bargains where you can, man. Just keep stuff out of your life is the point that the blog post is trying to make.
Mm.
Do you, in your work, you can't really delegate stuff out. It's all on you. It's the same for me, really.
Yeah.
Barring a few little jobs here and there.
But there are things that you can delegate that, you know, maybe work on the house and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which I could be doing, you know, but it's... I mean, very often, by the time I finish doing all the stuff that I'm doing during the day, the last thing I want to be doing in the evening or at weekends is doing stuff. You know what I mean? And the idea of being able to not do stuff, in our world, the only time we don't do stuff is if we go away.
I'm quite good at not doing stuff like decorating now, and if I can afford it at that particular moment, I will get someone in to do it or fix this in the kitchen. And I also have this little system where I swap handy jobs. My father-in-law will do the handyman jobs in the house, and I will take care of his technical digital stuff at his house, like setting up his Wi-Fi, or he's just got some Bluetooth speakers for his hi-fi. So I do all that, and he does a lot of stuff, and it's guilt-free because we know what we're each capable of.
I like that. Sounds good.
Yeah. So definitely delegate where you can, man. And if you've got jobs you've been putting off, that you're not that good of, good at. See if you can do a little skill swap.
Yeah.
I find that very useful in my life.
Yeah.
Work hard is the last point in the blog post, which I feel like we're both working pretty hard at the moment.
I don't get why he's put that into the organised life bit.
I know.
But
I guess... I didn't read it that quickly, I just skimmed it, and obviously I will encourage everyone to read it properly. But I think this comes into kind of purpose, and you know, if you're working hard and enjoying it, then you're doing it right. If you're working hard and not enjoying it, and you're stressing about how crazy your life is, then there's something wrong, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working hard at the moment and enjoying it, and I'm not feeling like it's a burden.
Yeah.
If you're doing something, working hard, and at the end of the day you're thinking, what the hell was all that about? There's something wrong, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess that there's... when I see people that are tired and they say, I'm tired, and I say, is that good tired or bad tired?
Mm.
You know, is it the result of doing something you've enjoyed, or is it the result of doing something you didn't want to do?
Yeah. Yeah, I see that a lot in my peer group at the moment, because we're all... got youngish kids, some a lot younger than mine even, so they're still in that phase where it's full on, man, and the kid, you know, you can't take your eyes off that kid. Or, and I see that as a good tired. And in fact, when like parents, new parents ask me what to expect or what's going on, I'd like to say, you know, if you're not knackered at the end of the day, you're not doing it right. Because you've got to give all your energy to those little freaks, haven't you?
Maybe the deal is if they're not knackered at the end of the day, you're not doing it right.
Everyone should be tired. The kids should be straight to sleep.
Yeah, gone.
As soon as the head hits the pillow, and you should be nodding off while they're going to sleep as well, because you've got to leave it all on the table.
I've never had a problem with sleeping. I can just lie down and close my eyes and go to sleep. The only time I don't sleep is on aeroplanes. For some reason,
you can't do it.
I don't sleep on aeroplanes.
The weird recycled air or something like that, maybe.
Yeah. Doesn't work. I see people on planes. I think that's clever.
And I was thinking of resources for this, and I suddenly remembered this guy, Seth Godin, whose word I used to hang on back in the day when I was really...
He's a great guy.
And he's still doing his daily blog, little stories on his blog.
Yeah.
Loads of books he's done, daily blog. There's loads of stuff on YouTube. But I remember one of the things he advised on is in terms of what you wear and what you eat. So every day... he suggests, you know, assuming you don't wear a uniform for work, wear the same thing, or at least have, you know, don't be stressing about what you're going to wear each morning. And also, breakfast and lunch, eat the same thing every day, so you're not worrying, or you're not spending little bits of energy on what you're going to have for breakfast or lunch. Just get in the routine of having the same thing, you know, assuming it's healthy and, you know, nourishes you and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't have a uniform, but maybe I was thinking I could have some kind of uniform. It's probably what you're wearing now, jeans, shirt and a blue jumper.
I used to wear suits all the time, and going into the hospitals and trying to work with people as a therapist, I'd be wearing a pinstripe suit, three-piece suit or something, and then people would kept calling me doctor. And I kept saying, I'm Sean, you know, and it's like I downsized and downsized to the point when I got to a pair of jeans and a T-shirt and a pair of baseball boots, then people called me Sean, so we could have a different kind of relationship.
Right, okay.
So, which is always really weird, because I'll go to a meeting with a load of consultants and they're all dressed in their pinstripes.
Mm.
And I'm wearing a pair of jeans and I've got my pumps on. But it works much better in terms of working with people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you have to tailor your outfit depending on the circumstance. But again, the point is that you shouldn't be wasting energy every day worrying about what you're going to wear in the morning. It's like just have something, whack it on, and get to work.
Yeah.
Save your food.
Yeah.
I'm a egg mayo butty fiend. So we have cafe downstairs, and assuming I haven't brought my own lunch in, it's just egg mayo, salad, brown roll, every time. So,
Because I make my own bread, so I like to, because I make my own bread and my own peanut butter. So this morning for breakfast I had my own bread with my own peanut butter on.
Very nice.
Very good.
Can you have a peanut butter pizza? I'm not sure, actually. Remember that one?
You could, yeah. Well, they do...
like a kind of garlic
bread. They do
style.
The chocolate calzone, so they do Nutella.
I might try that, you know.
Calzone.
A little mini peanut butter pizza. Like a Garlic bread. Weird thing. All right, what's your resource? Mine's Seth.
Marie Kondo. If just type in Marie Kondo on YouTube. And she's the Japanese young woman who does loads of organisational stuff. And one thing she does always fascinates me because of travelling backwards and forwards is how do you fold clothes so you can get as much as you can in a suitcase or in a drawer?
Yep.
And the way that she folds clothes so that they're not creased and all that kind of stuff is really clever.
Cool. I've definitely come across her.
Yeah, but she does a lot of kind of organisational, clean your house out, change this, do that stuff, which is great because it clears your mind.
Wonderful. Yeah. Frees it up for the important stuff. Okay, cool. We're all done, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm groovy.
livingthepresent.co.uk. Back next week. Do send us an email via the website or social media if there's anything you would like us to discuss. And have a good week until next Thursday morning. See you later.
That was very good. See ya.
See you, Sean.